Hey, everybody. Danica Patrick joins the program. Legendary IndyCar and NASCAR racer. We talk about all sorts of things. 2024 Trump, spirituality, fitness. You're going to love this conversation. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. And support our program. Go to charliekirk.com and become a member. That's right, become a member to listen to all of our episodes advertiser-free. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is someone who got in a lot of trouble for attending AmFest, Danica Patrick. Danica, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
You are the most accomplished female racer of all time.
Yeah, I guess.
So that's what the internet says, so it must be true. And obviously been following you from afar for quite some time. So much to cover. I just think it would be fun for you to tell your story. It's an Only in America story. And so we're both from Illinois. And
yeah.
That's where your story started.
I was born in Beloit, Wisconsin, but grew up just across the border in Roscoe, Illinois. And just grew up in a really small town, 5,000 people, cornfields everywhere. And my parents were hardworking, and they started their own business with nothing. They spent their last $100 on a picnic table. And, you know, just very simple beginnings. And then my sister, at 8 years old, wanted to race go-karts. I was 10, so she's younger than I am. And she wanted to race go-karts, so I said I'd do it, which I have to say, actually, I told her just the other day, her name is Brooke. She's always been very interested in politics, loves you. And I was like, Brooke, you're actually responsible for getting me into racing and now politics.
Oh, boy. So, which is more dangerous?
Oh, that's a fantastic question, and maybe there isn't an answer, especially after what you just posted today about those cops talking about assassinating
yes,
Trump.
Just joking about murdering a president.
I mean, yeah. That's not funny at all. But so we started racing go-karts. I was 10. She was 8. She quit right away, and I kept going. And I moved to England when I was 16 to race. So I left high school, so I agree with the whole college scam thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to be a doctor, I would appreciate that you did some homework and you went to school to know where to cut me open, but for the most part, I am not on board. I think it sucks the money out of people. They get into debt, then they're on this wheel that they can't get off of. Anyway, I could go on and on about that, but raced in England for 3 years from 16 to 19 years old. My family didn't come over there. I came back. I managed to get a ride with Bobby Rahal and raced Formula Atlantic, which is the series below IndyCar. And then when I was 23, I started racing IndyCars. And my first year was a big year, so I almost won the Indy 500 my first year. So,
and you were the only female
yeah.
competing, correct?
Yeah, for the most part I was, yeah.
So, and that again, I'm very much of a layman when it comes to racing. I know almost nothing. There is not female and male divisions
correct.
Typically?
Correct. For the most part. There is, Formula One has started a series. It was called the W Series for a while, and now it's the Academy. So that is something that exists now that they've been pushing for, of which I have my own opinions about, and they all know that. So I do some work for Formula One and do some announcing at 7 F1 races a year. So there are these opportunities that women have had, or at least there are women's series, but they're not common. For the most part, it's always just girls and boys.
So you kind of became a cultural phenomenon as you were ascending in the racing, and then you won a race in Japan, right, which was kind of the the race heard around the world.
Right. The first big one was when I almost won the Indy 500 in 2005. And then a couple of years later in 2008, I won in Japan. And while it sounds like I won in some other series, it was the IndyCar series. It was just that we had one of our races in Japan. So so I won over there. And yeah. And then I made my way to NASCAR, which was also another huge platform. So, you know, that was a lot of branding there, too. So enjoyed my time there as well.
So do you still race? You're kind of now in a new chapter, right? Which is what brings us all together here.
Exactly. I, you know, I retired 5 years ago and I have many businesses. I have two wine companies, a candle company. I have a podcast. I do speaking engagements and I vacation now that I have time. So
that's nice.
I do a lot of
you
various.
You could teach me how to do that.
I definitely could, although I'm not sure.
There's, I'm not very good at it.
There's a season for everything. And, you know, I retired when I was, I guess, 37, and I didn't do any of that. I would take one trip a year, but I didn't vacate. You know, that wasn't my life. And so you're just blowing up, and it's not your season, you know? Like,
that's
this is
right,
the season of dig in, especially for the next year of what's about to happen.
Yes.
So I'm not going to be over here whispering in your ear vacation at this point
no,
in time.
No, I tried having fun once, and I hated it. So
What did you try and do?
Oh, I'm not a good vacationer. if it's more than 48 hours, I start shaking with, you know, nervous anxiety.
How does your wife feel about that?
She's the best.
Yeah.
She understands me. And I mean, we carve time off, but I'm not a great vacationer. So you're in this kind of new season. And I was so thrilled. I saw it and I didn't want to bother you because I saw you post while you were at our event. It's like, oh, I know Danica. I've been following her for years. I mean, she's amazing and, you know, super accomplished and a great role model for young women. It's like, I had no idea we were even kind of like-minded or at least, you know, she was interested. And you put up this beautiful social media post and all of a sudden all these nasty articles start popping up. So walk us through kind of how you found yourself at America Fest.
Right. Well, your team is incredible. So I received a message from Turning Point, from the Instagram account Turning Point, and they asked if I would be willing to come, and they had followed up, and then I looked at the list of speakers, and I was just thinking, this is pretty amazing. I really want to see a lot of those speakers. So I actually invited my dad at first, and my dad was like, your sister will want to go. And so I invited my sister, and she flew out. She literally was in town for 48 hours. And we went to Monday and Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you saw Tucker.
Yep. So saw Tucker. I'm bummed that I missed Patrick, Bette David, and Vivek. I would have really loved to have seen them.
Come back next year then.
Yes, so. For sure. And so we went and we had such a great time. And you do the rhythm of the day is so great with the speakers coming in and out quickly. It's not super long and drawn out. And there's an up and down to the different kind of speakers that you have. Like, you know, everything from, you know, something very serious to something funny and, you know, something about, you know, psychology to something about border control. So it's like anyway, it's a fantastic event.
Thank
so
you.
So I just, you know, posted about it that I thought it was a great event and my sister came in for it and we had a good time. And basically what I said was, you know, we love America. And so this is the right place to be at AmFest, America Fest. And people just blew up. They were like, when did it become radical to say I love America? When?
It's probably in the last couple of years. I mean, so when you first started in racing, because racing I think of as a very pro-America, Americana. If you were to say you love America, like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Right. I mean, I have a tattoo of an American flag on my body. Like, I love America. I got it when I came home from England. I'd lived there for 3 years, and that was kind of... So I posted a static post about going, and then I replied to everybody's dismay, or many's dismay, also many people that were really supportive and excited as well. But I was sort of more cathartically writing an Instagram story. So I'm typing out, like, my feelings... And then I ended up posting it, which, you know, I've found that, I don't know how this feels to you, if this resonates, but the times that I post something or say something and I hit send and I know it's the truth and it's my truth, but I'm like, oh, shoot, what did I just do? The one where I call my VP and I'm like, just letting you know that I did this.
I've had a couple of those. Right, Andrew?
And And so it's in those moments, though, that I actually get the most amount of traction. And it can be very polarizing, but it's the thing that hits this live stream. You know, like it's the one that people pick up. And so that was kind of how it was when I posted that story, which, you know, included me saying, I love this country and I've lived other places. Like I've lived in different country before. I've been to other countries, many other countries, and this is a great country, but look, it's needs help right now.
Yeah, it needs help. And I mean, I want to kind of keep on exploring this because in some ways there's a couple stories similar to yours. The way you're handling it is really admirable, where you just kind of show up to a pro-American event, you're there to learn, and you get viciously attacked. We'll read some of these headlines.
It's great.
And you're kind of like, wait, what?
What?
I mean, I've raced cars at hundreds of miles an hour. Like, I'm not afraid of you, right?
Right.
And they think they can kind of bully you. In fact, there was one article that was like, we must kick her out of all racing.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, she shouldn't be speaking on behalf of America. Like, I think that was some of the headlines that were included me coming back for Formula One, is that she shouldn't be representing America. I'm like, I just said I love America. So
yes,
it's really it's very fascinating. So it was truly like posting that and having the reaction that gave me the motivation to dig into this and say, I think I have something to say about this, and I just find it fascinating that people were so mad. So let's figure it out together.
We should. Do you have a website you want to plug for people? You mentioned a candle company.
I mean, I Danica Patrick, everything, DanicaPatrick.com, at Danica Patrick. My wines are SomniumWine.com, DanicaRose.com, Voyant Candles, and the Pretty Intense podcast.
Pretty Intense, but that's a good one too to also plug. And you have some great guests as well had on. Robert Kent, RFK. Where you say, I guess I'm into politics now. I want to talk to you about that. But also you had Neil deGrasse Tyson and some other really big names. So check that out, and really enjoying this. And you guys can check it out, DanicaPatrick.com. Lots of good things here. Christmas is here, everybody. And that means that you might have to be moving boxes or just it's tough, a lot of stress. And that means inflammation increases. And that means pain also might increase alongside of it. Relief Factor, though, is here to help. It's a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against pain. It's 100% drug-free, and Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for pain. Relief Factor uses a unique and proven formula of natural ingredients like turmeric and many others to help you get out of pain, to reduce or eliminate the everyday aches and pains you're experiencing. So whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help you feel better. Unlike pills that simply mask your pain for a short time, Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation, so you feel better all day, every day. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor Quick Start, and nearly 70% of people go on to order it again. Relief Factor isn't simply about feeling better. It's about living better, living the life you want, doing the activities you love. So see how Relief Factor can help you with their 3-week Quick Start, feel back, or your money back guarantee. So check it out right now, relieffactor.com, or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Slay that inflammation. Go to relieffactor.com. All right, I want to read some of these headlines, okay? Planet F1. I'm sure that's a familiar website for you, right? They blog about a lot of stuff.
I can't say I read a lot of blogs, but okay. But yeah, I've heard of it, yes.
So I want to read this one. Danica Patrick shouldn't be America's ambassador for F1 broadcasting. What is their reason? Because you attended America Fest and had said something nice about it. Marca.com, which I suppose is a website similar. Danica Patrick refuses to apologize for conservative political inclinations. You have to apologize, Danica.
Yeah, I was built for this stuff. I think that's really something about me. Like I've been on the chopping block, and I've been criticized and ridiculed my whole life. So I think that's another reason why I'm not afraid to finally step forward, and why I honestly feel like it's a calling. I don't love politics. I'm doing it because I feel called. I feel like I'm frustrated and curious and interested, and like I am built for things like this.
What is calling you to the wretched industry of politics? What in particular?
Truth. Just what is the truth? And digging into it and finding it out. But ultimately in everything that I do, whether it's my podcast or life in general, it's just about It's about planting seeds in people's minds that, that will blossom into something and allowing them this opportunity to think differently and look at things through a different lens. And at the end of the day, have critical thinking. I don't really care what's right or wrong. It's just that we figure it out. And so when we just follow along like lemmings, you're not critical thinking. We're not applying all of our minds to this idea. Critical thinking, I think, is so important, and people just aren't doing it anymore. They just follow along with a rhetoric or an idea or a group.
And it seems as if politics matters more to our life than it ever has, especially during COVID, where they told you can't go to the gym, right. You have to take this vaccine. Do you think COVID for you was a moment that challenged some preconceptions or made you more interested in politics?
I mean, I think that if we're looking about peeling away the layers of what's really going on out there, I think Trump did a great job of starting to expose fake media. I feel like for me, that's the first time I was like, oh, fake media? Like, I know from my position, because I've been in the media for so long, yes. that look, if I'm promoting something, that's why I'm on a show. Or that's why I'm doing an interview or that's why I'm in a magazine is because I'm promoting something. Or maybe I have a sponsor that's putting an ad in a magazine and so therefore I'm in it. Like, I understand kind of how the wheels turn in that way, but I didn't really realize how much fake news was out there. And so I think for me, that was kind of the first thing. Do you agree?
I totally agree. Yeah. You know, it's funny. There's a really, really famous billionaire guy that I know. I won't say his name. And he's like, yeah, I wasn't a fan of Trump until I was doing some housework and I had the news on. And all of a sudden I heard him say fake news. And he was like, yes. And he just stops and points. He's like, that's right.
Yeah.
Because you've experienced what fake news is.
Yeah.
I mean, they could destroy your life and they smear you and they slander you.
Sure.
And they have an agenda and they're not into actually reporting. And again, I don't remember all the details, but I remember, you know, at one point, media darling, and then they love to try to tear down what they once built up.
Oh, God, that's what they do every time.
Right? So they'll build you up.
In Formula One, that's exactly what happened. They loved me at first. They're like, she's the best, and now they're like, get her out of here.
Yes, because this is why they hate Trump, because he built himself outside of the media. So anything they don't build, they can't destroy.
Oh.
And so they're doing everything they possibly can to go after him. And he understands the media better than they understand themselves. But it's almost like a boom and bust cycle, right? So
yes. We're
going to make money on the way up and make money on the way down.
Ah.
So we're going to build you on the way up and then we're going to destroy you on the way down. And we're going to have ratings on both sides.
Yeah. Well, I mean, propaganda in the media has been going on for a long, long time. Isn't that Operation Mockingbird?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funded by the intel agencies.
CIA, right?
Yeah, that's right. And still currently, by the way, Obama, he signed some executive order and made some adjustments where it's still ongoing. The intel agencies are actively involved in coordination and symmetry of the distribution of media. I want to talk to you in the next segment, Danica, because you have a whole part of your website here about fitness, about lifestyle. You have a whole book called Pretty Intense, which is also the name of your podcast. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. We don't talk about it enough, which is trying to push people to be the best versions of themselves and to kind of break out of the simulation.
Right.
And I know you have a 90-day program that talks about sculpting your body and calming your mind. I really want to dive into that because we could talk about politics all day long. I actually talk about politics all day long.
You do.
And happy to do it if you want. But I think that there are some really important life improvement attitude and spiritual takeaways that we need to encourage people to follow.
I love it. Well, just like at AmFest, you had plenty of speakers.
You
had someone on psychology, which I just loved. I was like, kept taking pictures of the screens. It's so fantastic.
But the bad guys wouldn't know that because they just attack it as a bad event.
Hi, I'm Adriana, a politics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders recognized an obvious fact of life. Human beings differ in terms of physical attributes and talents. Because of this, some people will be better at some things than they are at others. But they also recognized that the tall and the short among us, the swift and the slow among us, are still human beings if we are recognizable as human beings. And therefore, we are equal in terms of the rights that pertain to human beings, rights attached to human nature. Rights that come from God. The Declaration of Independence names three of the big ones: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Exercising these rights is necessary if we are to be truly free. In our own time, many influential people believe that only government can decide what our rights should be. This is dangerous. Understanding our rights and how the Constitution protects them is vital to our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
So Danica Patrick is here. She shares my enthusiasm for cold water.
Yeah. I mean, well, as much enthusiasm as you can have for cold water. Enthusiasm for the benefits.
I'm a big believer in cold water. Every person should expose themselves to at least a minute of cold water a day. Cold shower, cold plunge. It's good for you across the board.
I agree. And you can do your face, too. There's like insane benefits with just even doing your face. But yeah, we were talking about this interview with, I think it was Goggins and Huberman.
Yep.
And that there is a part of your brain that grows when you do things that you don't like to do. And so pretty much everyone doesn't like to cold plunge. You do it because you understand the benefits. But if you do get to the point that you like it, you can go from 1 to 10 minutes, as they say in the episode, and it won't actually grow this part of your brain. So you actually have to not like something. And so cold plunging is a great way to do that.
I gotta find something else.
And that they found that in overweight people, this part of the brain was the smallest.
You have a whole part of your website and your worldview that I think is really important people know about, which is about pushing yourself to a higher physical standard, spiritual standard, mental standard, which I'm enthusiastic about. And I really wish people would talk more about. And that includes doing things you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this book, Pretty Intense. When did this book come out? A couple years ago? Or
About 5 years ago.
Okay. And I'm sure it's still as applicable today as it was then. Talk about the book and then talk about, I think we need to do a better job of pushing back against fat acceptance culture in this country. So talk about your book.
Yeah. The book is called Pretty Intense, which is then what I called my podcast. And it's broken down into three sections, the mind first, and then it goes into the body with fitness, and I designed a workout. And then there's before and after. There's testimonies because we did a trial group for it. And then there's food. And so there's recipes as well that I wrote and photographed.
Well, so you said something really cool, which is if you show up for yourself, you'll show up for other people.
It's the way that you show up for yourself is the way that you show up for other people. So I think that fitness and health is such a great gateway to just developing that those aspects of yourself. So when you discipline yourself to get up, when you push yourself in the gym, when you choose better foods to take care of yourself, you start to mirror that in your life to your family, your children, to other people. And I just think that it's a great hack to just developing better character traits, I think.
What is it meant for you to take the physical as a priority? Because sometimes that is the back burner, right? People will say the body doesn't matter that much. I think this is the root of a lot of obesity, type 2 diabetes. Mm. We're way too fat of a country. It's not the most important thing, but if you don't take your body seriously, what else would that mean, you think, for your life or other people's lives?
Well, being an athlete and racing since I was 10, fitness is something that I kind of had to do and then have done for a very, very long time. So it is kind of been part of my life, and I do enjoy it. But I mean, of course, like, you have to put in the effort, you have to put in the work. But I just really firmly believe that when you work hard and put that effort in, that, you know, like, let me back up. I've been a fit person generally my whole life, and that kind of took a turn about 5 or so years ago. I talk about this sort of health journey I had. One of the big elements of it was having breast implants and them making me sick, and a cascade of other issues that came as a result of it, one of which was gaining weight. And it was so frustrating because it wasn't a matter of me not putting in the effort. In fact, I started putting in more effort. So for me, as my character would go, when you look at me, I want you to see that I have discipline. I want my body to be an example of my level of discipline and commitment to myself. So when it slipped, I realized I had to sort of dive into the psychology of why I cared so much, what I looked like. And it wasn't because I thought people wouldn't like me or I couldn't get a date, or it was more that it looked like I was lazy. And I hate that. That's probably one of the things that I judge the most in people.
And you should. Yeah, laziness is one of the most just disgusting qualities in a human being, to be a sloth. So what are the couple disciplines you do every day that you don't want to do that you think enhance your life and improve your mood, yeah. improve your vitality?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the daily disciplines you incorporate?
Actually working out strategically, but less. I do love it, but I used to work out so much, like every day and sometimes twice a day. And now I lift 3 days a week and I walk a ton. So having the discipline to rest for me, and I know it's like I'm just a different human being, and I know there are other people like me, but I like working out. So having the discipline to do the right thing for my body and like loving my body enough to not kill it.
Yeah.
That's actually something that I have to do. I mean, my little morning routine, I would love to wake up and just pour, like get a cup of coffee immediately, but instead I drink my green drink of, I have AG1, and then I put in this ProMix D-Bloat orange stuff in it and creatine.
Creatine's great for your brain.
And that's the first thing I drink every day because it does a good job of taking care of your gut health so that you don't have that acidic coffee hit your stomach first.
Yeah.
So I have that first. And then most of the time, unless I'm working out, I'll eat then as well and then have coffee. So like I discipline myself to wait on coffee because I know of the benefits. I mean, Huberman goes to at length about the benefits of waiting at least 90 minutes.
Yes. But. Yeah, I try my best and I get to about 60. And also he's big into natural light and all that stuff.
Yes, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, and being here in Arizona is amazing, right? It's a huge, huge strategic advantage. Yeah. What spiritual disciplines, if any, do you do? Meditation?
Actually, I pray. I know that it sounds confusing because we just talked about
spirituality
for a while.
No, yeah.
But I pray. I pray every night and I pray during the day, even just various different things. I actually, this necklace says call on your angels. So I call on them a lot and I call on different ones, but I call on angels a lot. In fact, when I was talking earlier about my tattoo on my back of an American flag, which actually, can I tell you this funny story about how I, this was a week or so ago in Aspen and I saw RFK there. And so we were skiing. He gave me a ski lesson. He's a fantastic skier. But we were talking about Cheryl, his wife's sweater, having an American flag on it. And I was like, oh, I love your sweater. And then we started talking about how people were, you know, criticizing
yes.
that I said I love America. And I said, I mean, I love America so much I have an American flag on my body tattooed. And he was like, where is it? And I stood up and I'm like, oh, man, okay, I'm going to do it. And I pulled my shirt and it's a lower back tattoo.
And in
Bobby
Aspen.
And
yeah.
Bobby goes, oh, you got a tramp stamp. And it was like the funniest moment. I don't know how I derailed, but I found that to be a complimentary
what is the story?
Story.
What, so what's the story? Were you in Cabo or something? And it was like a very, was it a bet?
I came back from England when I was 19 because I lived there for 3 years racing. And my friend also got a tattoo before that. And I was like, I want a tattoo. And I was like, it's an American flag that fades into a checkered flag. And I designed it well and brought it in. And it looked a lot nicer on paper, but I had it done in Rockford, Illinois. And I'm not sure I visited the best tattoo artist in the world. So. And then, oh, I know exactly why. Because so that was when I was 19. And then when I was 27, as we're talking about angels, I've been praying and talking to angels for my whole life. I had angel wings put around the, I mean, it's just a wonderful back piece. I had angel wings put around the flag and some yellow stars because that represents my name, which means morning star.
Wow.
Because when I was racing, every time before I went out, I prayed that the angels would surround my car and take care of me.
And they did.
So
this sounds like a real work of art. So
I'm not going to stand up and show you.
No,
I'm just absolutely not going to do that.
No. The so
sure the internet has it somewhere.
The one of the things that bothers me is when people start to use excuses and their thought patterns to lower their potential. And this is something we talked about a little bit in a previous episode. And it's easy to get into a rut. It's easy to kind of just use a lot of excuses. When is there a time in life? You mentioned when you had some health difficulties 5 or 6 years ago, when you had a moment where you had to change a pattern of thought to consciously try to improve your life or to try and crush a stronghold that might have been challenging you.
Mm. Well, I mean, we do get into these patterns of thoughts that can be negative and hold us back. And it's a hormonal thing. I mean, it's like it's a cocktail that your body's used to having.
Yes.
And so it has sort of like a loop of emotions and hormones that get triggered. And you have to stay on that pattern. And the body only wants repetition. Like, it's just like the ego. It just wants to know it's safe and wants to keep you safe, even if it means a long-term loss, but it's short-term gain.
That's exactly right.
And so we get into these rhythms and patterns, and so many of them start in childhood. We don't even know it. Through our programming, through up to about 7 years old, they say, is when the subconscious programming happens. So we don't even know why we do things or why we are the way that we are, because it's sort of invisible as a background program that runs. So when you try and reprogram something that is well established, it's literally like an addiction, because the body is addicted to that cycle. So it should feel very hard, very confusing. For me personally, if I'm sharing some of the things that have been the hardest, like, there are many things that I feel pretty strong about and feel very confident and I'm able to push through difficult things. You know, for me, I feel like standing up, you know, in politics right now feels like something I'm built for. When I believe something and have conviction, I just pretty unwavered, like I'm not afraid.
Yes.
I would say that probably in my life it ends up falling in relationships of certain belief systems, belief patterns I have about myself. The one that I've had most of the time is not being enough. And so, like, trying to reprogram these thoughts in my head of not being enough or codependency-like characteristics, those are some of the things that I've had to work the hardest on.
And I love what you said about being called into the political fight. It's a big year, as you mentioned. I want you to, you know, I'll use this as a tease, the next segment, kind of tell us what you think this next year, how you're thinking about it, what are the big issues that are facing the country. And it's a really exciting time because, you know, just yesterday I had coffee with Rob Schneider, who is amazing.
He did a great job at AmFest, yeah.
And, I mean, I never would think that I'd have Rob Schneider and Danica Patrick. It's like kind of this interesting new group of people that all believe in free speech and believe in the Constitution. And we might have different opinions on certain particular political issues, but the big stuff we're in full agreement on. There's something happening. You could call it an awakening. Hey, everybody. Exciting news. Very, very important. We are saving babies with preborn. You've heard me talk about this all throughout the year, and time is running out on this great dollar-for-dollar match. I have donated money here, and you should too. Through December 31st, you can save twice as many babies by providing ultrasounds. But this match goes away soon, so don't put it off another minute. You've heard about and thought about and talked about it and maybe even prayed about it, but right now is the time to do something about it. If you're wondering about your end-of-year giving and want every dollar to get the most results, this is a great chance to maximize your gift for life. And for a one-time $15,000 gift, you'll provide not just one ultrasound machine, but two, saving thousands of babies for years to come. $280 saves 10 babies, $28 a month saves a baby a month for less than a dollar a day, and right now, any gift saves twice as many babies with preborn. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That's the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. $280 saves 10 babies. $280 saves a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. charliekirk.com, preborn banner. Anything you want to plug in addition, things you're working on, your podcast, pretty intense.
Yeah.
So you're a pretty intense person.
I mean, do you think? I don't know. It's it definitely came about because that sort of describes my personality. But I think that it will get pretty intense. And it's actually a perfect like pivot into, you know, talking about the future of this next year.
Yes.
Because I want to start interviewing people like yourself. RFK was on.
I'd be happy to come on.
Having people come and have the platform, have the conversation. And so I'm not an expert in this category, but I'm going to be vulnerable.
But you're curious.
And learn. And I'm curious.
Yes.
And so it might actually start some conversations that are a little unconventional because I haven't been in this world.
You will learn a lot. Aristotle famously said in the first line of the metaphysics, all men seek to know. And so that is, if you seek to know, then you are in the pursuit of philosophy.
I love that.
So, and philosophy is the love of wisdom. So 2024, what do you think of this crazy presidential year? You're now in the political game, Danica, whether you like it or not. You're in. Welcome aboard.
I mean, I'm here, which means I'm definitely in the game.
Yes.
I think that it's going to be the best and the worst things that we've seen. I think that we'll probably...
It'll be the best of times and the worst of times.
Yeah, and I am scared and curious and slightly fascinated to see what kind of antics will be pulled over the next year to control whatever wants to be controlled by people that don't have good intentions or people that just want to hold power, at least. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen so many things go down over the last few years that seem nonsensical and crazy. And so I'm sure that that won't end, because what it feels like before we went to break, you said an awakening feels like it's happening, which I said is a pretty spiritual thing to say. But it does feel like the place that doesn't feel scary to me is that I'm conscious of that. I feel like I'm like ready for something crazy to happen. Even this Miami alien thing that happened,
the
which,
Nephilim.
I mean, is that what they call it?
Yeah, well, the Nephilim's a biblical term
for the large,
the giant people. Yeah.
Yes, 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 correct. And I even look at that and I think to myself, okay, apparently that's supposedly happened Monday, but came out Friday. So that's interesting. And we've been hearing about, we're going to know about aliens soon. But the question is it going to be our doing? Is it going to be to distract? Is it going to be fake? Is it going to be what is it really going to be? So I'm like, okay, did that really happen or not? So I'm already like looking through everything with the lens of, is this true or is this not true?
So if Trump is the nominee and it's Trump v. Biden, and let's say Bobby Kennedy is not competitive, because I know you like him,
Yeah. Who
do you think would be a better shot to help save the country?
I mean, I'm really interested in what Vivek's saying these days. I'm interested in what his angle is, because I feel like he's coming at it just full force, say anything, go anywhere. I mean, right now he's racing around Iowa, going to, I think he said, like 99 counties and going everywhere twice. Like, that's ambitious and passionate. But, you know, backing Trump in states that he's not going to be on the ballot, he's like, I'm going to take myself off. Good for him. And I wonder what his angle is, because on some level there's competition here. But I think that what he has to say is really interesting. And I love all these truth tellers. And I think the ones that are telling the most truth are the ones that are in these open format. They're non-scripted, long form podcasting, someone that's just not afraid to be asked questions because they just know who they are and they know what they stand for.
Would you ever run for office? You're in the game now.
Oh my God, that's so far from my mind. I you know, I went on Tucker's show last week. I flew to Florida and you know, we were messaging afterwards, and I just said, I thank you so much for having me. And he was grateful for me stopping by, and he appreciated the interview, and he said, I don't know where things are going to go for you, but I bet it's going to be unexpected. So, like, that was the...
That,
like,
sounds like a Tucker text.
Back of my mind thought, I was like, that would be literally the most unexpected thing I could ever imagine for my life.
But you couldn't have imagined showing up to... you thought you were going to go to America Fest, have this beautiful time, and now people are calling for this. But like you said, you're made for this.
I'm built for the resiliency. I'm built for the criticism. I'm built for the judgment. And... I think that, you know, I was bummed I did not see Patrick Bet-David speak.
But we'll get you guys connected.
I know that he was at AmFest when this clip showed up, because of obviously the amazing stage that you guys had. But when he went in, like, it motivates me. When he spoke about, this is a time where leaders are going to come through and we're going to wonder, where did he come? Where did she come from? And I mean, to me, that this is where you're going to find them. I love this because it was so powerful, and he feels more optimistic than ever about what's coming. And I would agree with that, because I think, as I said, it's going to be the best and the worst we've ever seen come through in the next year. I think that the good will prevail, and that the reason is because when you get people to finally speak up that have just gone about their life and just want to live the life they want to live, however they want to live it, everyone else can do the same thing. But when they finally get pushed to the limit that they need to stand up for themselves and what they feel like is now everyone else, and feel called to do that and feel like they have to, which is kind of where I got to, you don't know what it's like to see those people in their power. Like, there's a conviction and a, like, to the death like energy that you don't get from someone that isn't in their truth.
Yes. And you feel that you're hitting that flow.
And I feel like I hit that. So that's kind of where you've been living this, I feel like, for a while.
I have been. Yeah. And look, the decision that had to be made was in 2020, not the Trump. It was the COVID and the race stuff. And we had to make a conscious decision. And I would still be friendly with some kids I grew up with in Chicago. That was the great ending of all of it. The stances you took on COVID and the stances you took on BLM defined the whole trajectory. And then you just are a free person. You can say whatever you want and you don't care. And
right.
You don't care about advertiser boycotts or any of that. And you find advertisers that share your values and you find team members that share your values. And you don't care if you say something that might be a little spicy because you're not owned by anybody. It's an amazing existence.
It's what Tucker was talking about at AmFest.
Yes.
Is that when you are in your truth and you speak your truth, you get stronger inside. And that stronger inside is what gives you the strength and conviction and momentum and energy to do what needs to be done. And that's why I think that it's going to end up better than ever. And I share those thoughts that Patrick has as well about it's going to be better than ever, because that is what prevails.
Yes, the truth ultimately wins. So check out DanicaPatrick.com. Do you have some fun podcast guests coming up?
Well, we're about to get rolling on some fun podcast guests like yourself, right?
Let me know. So I'd be happy to.
I've started to make my list of all the people that I need to talk to. I think Vivek might be coming up.
Oh, great.
His people reached out. So, I need to get some people from the other side, too. Got to be fair.
Sure, if they'll come on.
If
they will have long-form, substantive conversation of the tough questions and all that. I will see it. Danica, thank you so much. This is awesome, and welcome aboard. There's no going back. You know that, right? It's the old I've burned the boats. Do you know that metaphor where you go to the island and you are the military and he say, we're going to burn all the boats, meaning there's no going back. We have to take the island.
Yep. I'm not on board. I'm on the island.
I love
you.
All right, Danica, thanks so much.
Thanks,
thank you.
Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.